What's got County Executive Rob Astorino talking?
Find out with Conversations with Rob Astorino.
Live the first Friday of every month between 8 and 9 a.m.
Hosted by Lisa Wexler on Westchester Talk Radio.
And welcome. I'm Lisa Wexler. You're listening to Westchester Talk Radio. We're broadcasting live from the Mount Olympus Diner here in Yonkers. And we have our monthly wonderful conversation with Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino. This is brought to you by and produced by Shark Creative, made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, Facelifts Painting, Riverso Associates, Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Wartburg, and Northeast Environmental. You can download the Westchester Talk Radio app on iTunes at Westchester Talk and like us on Facebook, Westchester Talk Radio. I'm Lisa Wexler. Good morning. Good morning, Rob.
How are you, Lisa?
I'm good. It's a Friday morning. It's been a very busy week for you as Westchester County Executive, so let's get right into it.
Well, I have a question.
Oh, well, you're going to start the interview. I love it.
Come on now.
All right.
Is it Mount Olympus? Is it Mont Olympus? Or is it Mont Olympus? It's M-O-N-T.
Well, if it's French, it's Mont.
Mont.
Mont. Mont Olympus.
I'm thinking,
but
this
I'm not
is Greek.
Right. So that's why I said Mount, like mountain.
Mont?
But we can ask.
Mont Olympus.
Mont Olympus. Okay.
Well, everyone says Mount. You're right. Everyone says Mount.
The Mount Olympus Diner. Should we just say Olympus?
I would go with Mont.
And actually, if we say Mont Olympus, it should be Mont Olympos, right?
Olympos.
Olympos.
Yes.
If we're going to do the Greek.
Yeah.
All right. So, Rob.
Yes.
We can do Italian. Rob. So this week, I saw that Westchester County, and obviously led by you, made a rather bold statement and a bold action in suing.
Not yet.
Announcing that you were going to be organizing a coalition or just on behalf of, and that's my question for you. The bottom line is you're not happy about the closing of Indian Point and you think it was done illegally.
It goes beyond nuclear power and the debate of nuclear power.
Okay.
And that's getting caught up in this, and that has nothing to do with it, actually. The issue is the State Environmental Quality Review Act, CEQRA, which was put in the early 70s. And when something is done which could have an adverse effect on the environment, and we do it all the time. So if somebody is a developer and wants to build 10 houses,
boom.
You got to do CEQRA.
Yeah.
If it gets ridiculous, even for counties and municipalities, you want to put up a shed, boom, does it have an effect? I remember, honest to God, when I first got into office, we had four horses. Mounted police horses.
I love horses.
And we came in here and I said, do we need these mounted horse police? It's not really what we do. And the police commissioner who I brought in looked at it and said, no, we hardly use them. We don't really see a big need for them. And they're expensive.
They are expensive, but they're usually for crowd control.
Yeah, so. Which we don't do a lot of.
Okay.
But, you know, we have events where, like at the dam for the fireworks, we all have 20,000 people.
Okay.
So we were getting rid of, as a cost-cutting measure, the four mounted police.
Well, and obviously,
not the police, but the horses.
But the horses are going out.
No, so we offered them to Rockland, Orange County, Dutchess County, New York City, whoever wanted the horses. We would just give them for free. Do you take them? So we gave them, Rockland County took them. The sheriff's department took the horses. Do you know that we were nearly sued by the county board, ironically, the Democrats on the county board, because we didn't do CEQRA, State Environmental Quality Review Act. This is how ridiculous CEQRA is. On almost everything you do, you have to study the consequences before you take the action. Now, if we had to do a CEQRA on giving away four horses, do you not think we should be doing CEQRA on the closing of a nuclear power plant?
How is it possible that that was announced without doing an environmental impact statement?
It isn't possible, and that's what we've said. So nobody is immune to this. And the courts have ruled on this. The governor, the agencies, and this is the Department of Environmental Conservation, which signed off on this agreement, is a party to the agreement.
Wait, they signed off as a party and they hadn't received an environmental impact analysis?
They didn't do it. So you've got the DEC, you've got the Attorney General's office, you got the governor, they signed this. You have the State Department, you have, I forget what other agencies, along with Riverkeeper and Entergy signed this agreement in secret. Nobody knew about it.
I remember.
And so they had been doing, as part of the relicensing, environmental reviews.
Okay.
Okay. There is a massive difference in doing a study about keeping the lights on as opposed to doing a study of keeping, of turning the lights off.
That's
right?
True. Totally.
So there had never really been a CEQA done in the whole permitting process. They come up with this agreement in darkness, announce it to the surprise of everybody with massive consequences. You basically have a nuclear waste cemetery there that's going to be for 60 years, rendering that property completely unusable.
Unusable and even perhaps dangerous, needs to be watched, supervised, security issues. There's a whole bunch
all
of things.
That. You now have all of that property valueless. So the Hendrick Hudson School District loses 35% of its revenue and have already stopped all planning for any capital improvements for the district, looking at contingency plans for a couple of years from now. You might be end up talking about mergers. You have the Village of Buchanan, which is losing 50% of its revenue, which may have to cease operations. You have the town of Cortland, which is losing money, and you have the county of Westchester. Then you also have every ratepayer in Westchester and New York City, 9 million people, whose electric bills will be affected by this. 25% of the energy will be lost, and how are you going to make that up? They have no plans. They've said, we don't know yet. Okay, so if you're going to do an environmental review, it is clear in the law that the environmental impact statement, the study, needs to be done at the earliest possible time, meaning you start with this, and then you go through the conclusions and mitigating factors, and you get public input. Then you reach a conclusion. Then you can do the agreement or give approvals. The opposite was done here. They reached a conclusion. They signed an agreement, which has enormous consequences, socioeconomic, energy, environment, et cetera, and they still haven't done a CEQA. So we're saying, wait a minute. There are massive consequences to this action, and you need to go back and do it from the beginning, which includes public review, public comment, all these kind of things. You might reach the same conclusion. It might be in a couple of years, which would extend the life of this agreement or invalidate the agreement from the beginning. But the public has a right, because we don't know how we're going to get over these things. And so
the whole thing came as a huge shock.
Yeah. And so what do you think the response was from some of the environmental community?
Do it anyway.
Silence, because their mouths are full with money that they've been paid off on this agreement with.
And in what way do you mean that? We're chatting with Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino.
Riverkeeper, there's a $15 million pot, and they're all being fed from this pot. So you have that. You also have...
And whose money goes to that? Is that Entergy that's paying that?
Yeah. Now, by the way, Entergy, and this is ironic because I've been a full supporter, still am, of nuclear power and Entergy in particular. They've been great corporate neighbors, as far as I know, from the very beginning. Since 2003, when I first ran for county legislator, when it was very unpopular, by the way, the plant was very unpopular. I was standing in a strong headwind saying, no, I think this plant needs to stay open. We need the energy. It's safe. And then public opinion changed through the years, where many more people were in favor of keeping the plant open.
Well, because you look at alternatives for energy, and fossil fuels have such a downside.
That's the other thing. So environmentally, what are they going to replace it with? They're going to replace it with gas or fossil fuels.
Absolutely.
So
the same people, by the way, that are against fracking are also against nuclear.
You can't be against everything.
For different reasons,
right.
But at the end, we do need to keep our lights on, and
correct.
That's why I personally am in favor of diversified energy.
Which is what we all should be. I mean, you should have as much as possible.
But I don't like
approach.
Fracking.
No,
but
I know you said that.
I don't. But I would rather err on the side of diversified, so we're not putting all our eggs in one basket.
Well, so you know what they have said? The state has said, wait, we've got about half of it what we think we're going to be able to replace it with. A 333-mile cable from Quebec.
I know about
laid
this.
Down on the bed of the Hudson River along railroad tracks and right-of-ways all the way down to New York City. And by the way, we're going to get it done in like 2 years, and it'll replace half the energy.
And by the way, who gets money from that? Canada, not the United States.
Well, let's start off. You ready to bleep me? That's a bunch of you-know-what. You really think there's going to be no fights on that? You're going to go on the bed of the Hudson River where snails and little fish have been protected?
So what does Riverkeeper have to say about that?
Well, that's the thing. It's so hypocritical because here you've got some environmental groups that are dead silent on this. The process has been run roughshod over. And if you can't support having an environmental impact statement and a real true study on something like this, this is the biggest environmental issue that Westchester and maybe New York will ever deal with, or certainly up to
Absolutely,
this point.
Absolutely, the closing of a nuclear plant.
And so you're going to just slough it off and say, no worries? Then why do we even have CEQA? Why do we even have an environmental law if it's going to be brushed aside by the powerful when they want?
So, Rob Astorino, when you had your meeting, press conference, whatever it was this week, and understanding that in some ways Entergy was... in a way, they were put between a rock and a hard place, as we've spoken about, because initially they had wanted to stay open.
Mm-hmm.
They looked at their headwinds, and they made a business decision.
Their
that
headwinds were
by
the state.
They couldn't keep fighting the governor, right? So what is the position legally vis-a-vis all the rest of these entities, and do you, in fact, need the cooperation of Entergy to go forward?
Entergy is regulated by the state, by the Public Service Commission. They have permits. They are overseen by the federal government and the state government. They are a public utility.
Okay.
They are not a supermarket. And so a supermarket can close when a supermarket wants to close. A dry cleaner can close when a dry cleaner wants to close. They are, just like Con Edison or whatever, regulated. And they can't just close shop tomorrow. They've got legal issues that they would have to stay on.
They can't open without approval.
Correct.
They can't close without
approval.
Exactly.
And so there is already in the agreement, by the way, that in 4 years when it's supposed to close, if there is not enough energy, they may have to stay open.
It
shows, and when you just take 25% away from something, what do you think is going to happen? The prices are going to continue to go up, and there's going to be a shortage. So there are no answers from anybody. The, quote, task force has not even met. It's 4 months.
What task force?
Exactly. That I'm not even on, by the way. The governor appoints a task force, and I was not even included, which should tell everybody the whole thing is a scam. So our beef is really not with Entergy at all. They've been very, very good, I think, for the community. They provide something that's very important that we all need. And they, yes, part of it is a decision they closed because they were crying uncle. They were getting sued left and right by the state. They were getting harassed. Permits were being withheld. That was part of the relicensing. However, had they received those permits, had they had a state that actually worked with them and they got the relicensing, and then for an economic reasons they decided to get out of the game, what would have happened? They would have sold. A new company would have come in and continued to provide the tax revenue, the jobs, and the energy that we need. So the study that wasn't done is enormously important to everybody. And
so
the process matters.
You're going to ultimately get a judge to compel the study? Is that the legal strategy?
To invalidate the agreement or suspend the agreement.
Okay.
A stay, if you will.
Pending.
Pending the state going back and doing what they're supposed to do.
And how can you assure? We're chatting with Rob Astorino, and you're listening to Westchester Talk Radio. We're broadcasting live from Mont Olympus Diner here in Yonkers, and we are being produced by Shaw Creative, made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, as well as Facelifts Painting, Riverso Associates, Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Wartburg Northeast Environmental. So my question is for you, Rob, given all of this, what is the, even if you were to win in front of a judge,
mm-hmm.
and the CEQA analysis was to be done, given the fact that the governor and these other agencies have already signed off on it, where is your independent? Where is your inspector general? Your expectation that the study itself will be fair and objective?
It may not. However, the public then would be a participant, and the public questions that are asked have to be answered, and including the mitigating factors, which they have not come out with at all. Those all would have to be in writing for the public to view, understand, object to. And in that way, they've got to actually come out with a plan. Because right now, it's ready, shoot, aim. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. And the law is pretty explicit on this.
Will you be asking for an independent supervisor of this, given
this?
It's an unusual situation.
Yeah, there's a process on who would get, quote, lead agency status. And the lead agency on this would probably be the Department of Environmental Conservation.
But they've already signed off and said it's okay. Well, so if they've already reached, it's like a recusal of a judge, Rob.
Yeah. But
how does a judge who signed an opinion then go and decide a case?
But they've done it in darkness. They've done it without any public input. This would open it up for everybody to see and participate in and review. And you know what? If they don't do it, then the process would continue. Or okay. people can say, hey, wait a minute. You didn't even – this is a whole – this again proves – so there's a lot of issues here. And ultimately, the closure of the plant may proceed. It might be pushed back a year or two, which would give more planning, which would give more opportunity to actually come up with something that helps everybody, as opposed to we'll figure it out when we figure it out. It'll give incentive to the state to actually do something.
But Rob Astorino, you've said,
and by the way, it costs us nothing,
that the lawsuit hasn't begun yet. So well, what are you waiting for?
First of all, we have, I think it's 120 days since the agreement was signed. That was January, I want to say 6th. So we have till May 9th to file the notice of appeal.
Okay.
The notice, and the county board has to sign off on it.
Oh, I see.
It costs
nothing. Oh, it cannot
nothing.
Be done by you alone.
Could be, potentially. We'll see about that. But it costs nothing. The county attorneys... office has done, I mean, I've already seen the merits of the case. They've already done that. Ironic that the Democrats on the board, who claim to be the biggest environmentalists in the world, before they even saw the merits of the case, said no, as well as said, oh, this is a Donald Trump special. Okay, so stop being partisan for 1 second. This is the biggest issue any of you will ever deal with environmentally in our county. Every single legislator, no matter what your district, whether you're near the plant or the farthest part away, like in Pelham or Yonkers, every single constituent of yours is affected because their rates will go up, the energy shortage will affect businesses and people, taxes are going to go up, all these things. And so look at the merits of the case first, as opposed to being hyper-partisan or getting a call from the governor's office screaming at you and scaring you. Do your job. And the second part is, they're saying, well, this is a waste of money. Actually, it's a waste of nothing. It doesn't cost us literally a dime because the county is exempt from filing fees, which were a couple hundred dollars anyway, and all the work is done in-house. And by the way, our attorneys specialize in CEQA and environmental law because they do it all the time for every capital project that we do.
I just cannot imagine that this CEQA environmental impact statement was something that was not completely and totally done and vetted before this agreement.
Nope.
And
it was shocked
us,
too.
And I can't imagine any public servant objecting to it.
Well, that's the thing. You know, make sure it's done and done right to protect ourselves. Also, don't you think we want to have a little leverage as this process goes along, which we're thoroughly giving up our rights for? I mean, why would anyone do that? Now, the Village of Buchanan, the Hendrick Hudson School District, they're totally on board to enjoin in this lawsuit. And there might be private citizens who would all have standing because they're all ratepayers and would totally
That's
be affected
true.
By this.
That's true.
So I think it's a huge issue that we as a county need to stand firm on because
we're
all
affected. So you
have
another 3 to 4 weeks before you'll actually have to file some papers. And where will you file the papers?
It would be filed in state Supreme Court in White Plains.
In White Plains.
Because it's affected here.
Okay.
They could change. Maybe they would try to move to change the venue to Albany, but it's affected here, and this is where it would probably go
so
on
So you
trial.
Put them on notice. Since you had this conference, since you let the press know, have you had any response from the governor?
I haven't had a response from the governor since election night 2014, but in all honesty, I wrote him a letter immediately after this closure announcement and said, hey, you know, you and I need to sit down because there's a lot of people affected.
And?
Nothing. We haven't even heard a response from the governor's office.
All right. Well, I'm Lisa Wexler. You're listening this morning to our conversation with Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino. And we broadcast this live, a conversation with you, the first Friday of the month at local participating diners. Today, we happen to be in Yonkers at the Mont Olympus Diner, where we just enjoyed a yummy breakfast. I had scrambled eggs.
I didn't even
eggs.
Taste it. I ate it so fast.
You had French toast. Mm-hmm. It's so much fun to watch you eat breakfast. And you're listening to Westchester Talk Radio. And this is produced by Shark Creative, made possible by a wonderful list of local sponsors, which include Entergy, the Indian Point Energy Center we've been talking about, as well as Facelifts Painting, Riverso Associates, the Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Wartburg, and Northeast Environmental. And you can download the Westchester Talk Radio app on iTunes at Westchester Talk. Like us on Facebook, Westchester Talk Radio. I'm Lisa Wexler. Stay tuned for part two.
When considering a building or renovation project, you need someone on your side. An experienced and knowledgeable company with expertise in planning, budgeting, organization, and control. Whether the project is a house, a school, a retail location, or an office building, you need Reverso Associates on your side. They're focused on two things: to provide or assist in the management of building programs from the earliest planning through occupancy, and to provide a flexible, experienced management consulting capability specializing in the needs of the construction industry. With a staff of architects, engineers, construction managers, estimators, construction accountants, schedulers, draftsmen, and other specialists, and with experience from over 1,000 projects, Reverso Associates can meet your needs effectively. When deciding on any type of construction project, or if a project is heading in the wrong direction, you need the expertise and experience of Reverso Associates on your side. Call for a consultation, 914-723-3474, or visit reversoassociates.com. Reverso Associates, a team of experts to get the job done.
You'd probably rather use that extra cash to go on vacation, but the contaminated soil around your oil tank needs attention. Northeast Environmental is Westchester's premier provider for underground storage tank removals and environmental services. Call Northeast Environmental, 777-1930, and take care of your dirt.
Give your home or office a facelift. You want to relax outside with a nice glass of wine, but you need to paint the house. You want to hit the links for a round of golf, but you need to paint the house. You both are ready for your vacation, but who will paint the house? Facelifts will. It's time to give your home a new look. They are the professionals to call when your home or business is in need of a paint job. Facelift staffs only highly trained interior and exterior painting specialists. Just select the color you want or use their trained color specialist and let them do the rest. Any size house, indoors or outdoors, they get the job done quickly, professionally, at your convenience and to your satisfaction. Plus, they offer repair work, power washing, carpentry, and generator installation for your home or office. Is your home in need of a facelift? Get to do all the things you want to do by letting Facelifts paint and remodel your home. Easy to deal with, easy to get in touch with. Licensed and fully insured. Call 914-806-8627 or visit faceliftspainting.com.
Shark, Shark Creative.
Thank you, listener. Yes, Shark Creative is the company you think of for on-hold messages. If you want to hear how it helps, you can call Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle, Durante Rentals, Michael Labriola, Inc., Oak Ridge Staffing, Emma's Ale House, Northeast Environmental, or just go to sharkcreative.com and listen there. Meanwhile, we've expanded our services as your all-audio resource. On-hold messages, of course, production and placement of radio campaigns on the Pete and others too. And now we also have our very own internet radio station, Westchester Talk Radio. Look for us on Facebook at Westchester Talk. Have us come out to your next event, help you capture audio from your sponsors, associates, friends. Bite into that first impression with Shark Creative. Everything audio. It just sounds better.
What's got County Executive Rob Astorino talking?
Find out with Conversations with Rob Astorino.
Live the first Friday of every month between 8 and 9 a.m.
Hosted by Lisa Wexler on Westchester Talk Radio.
We're back.
Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
I'm Lisa Wexler and welcome back to part two. We're chatting live from the Mount Olympus Diner here in Yonkers in Westchester County for our monthly conversation with Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino. Good morning, Rob.
Hello, Lisa.
So, Rob, all right, so the other thing that happened this week, which I think was very exciting, and we love to give people good news, is more progress on the work of this biotech corridor and more land deals and development of what promises to be another hub of biotech investment here in Westchester County.
In 2012, we decided to open up to potential investors, developers, partners with the county, an opportunity to take these 60 acres of property that sit on the Grasslands campus, which is where the Westchester Medical Center is. And if you're looking at the building, if you're looking at Medical Center, to the right, all the way to the right, there would be a lot, an empty, unpaved lot, and trees, and that's the 60 acres. adjoining that 60 acres or 20 acres that this one developer, John Ferrari, owns. For decades, previous county executives and the county boards have looked at that property and what to do with it, and they've always just kind of left it on the side for future generations. And we've finally said, you know, look, this is an opportunity to bring in new revenue, jobs, development, put people to work, and really connect everything that's happening at that medical center with regards to the medical center, the Children's Hospital, New York Medical College. Right down the road is Regeneron. All of these great things happening, and with biotech very hot, we have a real opportunity to be, you know, in many ways connected with Cambridge, Massachusetts area, that corridor, San Francisco, San Diego. And when the conversation worldwide comes in about life sciences and biotech and R&D, Westchester would be right in the mix. So we went out, and as slow as government is, that was 2012.
Oh, okay.
This past week, we announced that the county board, and Monday night, they did vote 17-0 to give a 99-year lease, which we worked on extensively, to Ferrari Associates.
For the other 60 acres.
For the 60 acres.
Okay.
They would, now it goes to the town of Mount Pleasant for their site plan review.
I see.
They have already said that they're in favor of the concept.
Okay.
So probably, my guess, 2 to 3 years max is when the shovels will start going in.
But do the shovels go in before the property is leased?
So no, what, the property is leased now.
I don't mean lease. I'm sorry. I mean taken by tenants that are in the biotech sphere.
Well, like what happens now is
chicken or egg.
He has a lease where he can go out and say, I got it.
Got it.
Now he starts talking, which he's already had preliminary discussions.
Okay.
To big companies or companies that want to come in, lease the space. There will be a 100-room hotel. There'll be some retail there. Not a lot, but there'll be some retail. There'll be a children's life science museum is what he wants to do.
All right. And there's also going to be preservation of some of that as open space.
And about half of the property is going to be open space.
Yeah.
So it'll be done in three phases, the West Village, Central Village,
okay.
East Village. And it'll have that kind of village feel.
What kind of transportation to and from this hub?
It's right off the sawmill, it's right off the Sprain, it's right off 9A, so it's really centrally located for cars. There's public transportation, and this is something that government can do using its assets, in this case, land that sits there doing nothing. No tax breaks, all of that will be taxable. There'll be no residential component, so no kids that will go to the school district, which means that's the whole fight all the time. Let's take that off the table.
Okay.
So all the benefits go to the school district. It goes to the town. It goes to the county. And you're talking about 4,000 construction jobs and about 8,000 permanent jobs of, you know, all different levels. Really good stuff. And in this, you're going to have the research and development, which literally could cure
whatever
a disease or whatever. And
but you need the biotech companies, the startups, the ones in intermediate stages, to
the incubators.
The incubators to have some kind of an incentive to come there.
Yeah, and they will, because they want to all be connected. And with Regeneron down the road,
right,
with all the medical center and the New York Medical College, all of that together. One thing I learned early on, and it was counter to what I thought, because I thought Coke and Pepsi, you know, you stay away from each other. They actually want to be cohabitating in
they
a way.
Do.
They want to work together collaboratively. The incubator takes it, brings it to the next phase where the research and development bigger moves it along. They get, you know, that's really what they want to do. And that's been the success of those regions I just talked about. So when it's all done, you're going to have about $15, $16 million a year in rent and taxes coming in. You're going to have all these jobs. And it's something that, you know, I won't be in office most likely when
it
comes to fruition. But it's something that we've got to look ahead. And this is the way where you keep taxes stable or lower, bringing in new revenue.
And these are the good kind of jobs.
Yeah,
and these are for people that want to live in the area but don't want to commute to Manhattan.
Yeah.
There's a whole host of, you know, it's interesting you talked about that convergence. I remember studying, too, about restaurants, thinking, originally, well, wouldn't one restaurant want to be the exclusive one in a neighborhood so that everybody who had to go eat there would eat there? But there was a study that showed that the more restaurants were in a main street, the more each per capita did in business because then they got a reputation of, oh, you want to go eat? Let's go there.
Let's go there and pick what we feel like that night. Yeah. And foot traffic, as opposed to the one standalone all
Correct.
The way on its own. And
Correct.
It's totally a destination.
So I understand what people are saying about biotech hubs and yeah. things like that. And, of course, there is cross-pollination.
Yeah.
And then you have the other services that develop. You have, let's say, the patent attorneys and all these other people around
oh, yeah.
there that...
And then think about it. So all of the locals' businesses are going to have business with the people that go there.
Yeah, I'm excited that Westchester's developing this reputation. Obviously, Acorda Therapeutics, I'm close mm-hmm. to that company because of our collaboration on the Acorda Scientific Excellence Award, which I want to thank Westchester County for. And, you know, I was thinking about that. I'm Lisa Wexler. We're chatting with Rob Astorino here at Westchester Talk Radio Live. And we're here in Yonkers where we had a wonderful breakfast at the Mount Olympus Diner. One of the award winners who won a couple of years ago, who you might remember because he created a battery that worked under the floor
oh, yeah.
of Westchester County Center in
yeah.
the Knicks.
While you walk on it.
To count the energy right. that he was accumulating and saving. His name is Swarnav Pujari. Well, he and I have been in touch. His company, he's a college kid, but he went to the University of Illinois at Champaign because they gave him this incubator college program. And his company is already up and running, and he needs advice. And he needs confidential employment agreements to start hiring people. And I'm going to put him in touch back with you because this is exactly the kind of young business
yeah.
and person growing up in Westchester County that we want to encourage. Maybe his company will be one of the first to lease.
And that's the goal. You get these kids in high school and college who love this, right? This is their passion. They're good at it. And... you know, if they're in high school, they might go to University of Illinois, but then they're going to come back. And this is an opportunity to, for not only for the next generation, but to help the current generation. And you've got to keep moving forward, right?
Yeah.
If you just stand still,
you're
going to eventually get passed or just stop.
Right.
And this is an opportunity to look at a sector that is growing. Is cutting edge.
I think it will always be in demand. People always want to know what is the next big thing to save our lives, to improve our lives.
Yeah, and healthcare is huge in Westchester. It really is.
You
look at all
is.
The New York City, the major hospitals that have come in and joined partnerships with local, what used to be local community hospitals.
I know.
And quite frankly, and people are starting to catch on, there really isn't a need any longer to go into New York City if you're doing elective surgery
right.
or, God forbid, it's an emergency. You've got great cancer treatment now in this county. You've got the greatest cardiologists who have
yeah.
partnerships. They're back and forth from New York City. So all the hassles, especially, you know, we all know somebody or have been through it, where you've got a debilitating illness or you're going through terrible cancer. And the worst thing is trying to... schlep into the city, right?
Right.
Deal with all of that.
Right.
Late night, and you got to drive home, as opposed to driving 10 minutes, have easy parking.
Right.
And it just makes it easier
right.
what is very difficult
situation. And
what is
happening with the hospitals? I know Northern Westchester has become part of, is it Northwell?
I forget which they joined.
Somebody.
There's a whole bunch of them. Yeah, I think it is Northwell. You've got, well, last night we were at the, what used to be, Peekskill Community Hospital.
And now is?
And then it's now the Hudson Valley Hospital, but it's New York Presbyterian.
Oh, it is.
And they've got a great cardiology unit now, and they celebrated again last night, a big fundraiser. And all these hospitals are doing that. And as I said, people really are figuring out that it used to be like, oh, man, you know, if I'm going to have triple bypass surgery, there's no way I'm picking a hospital in Westchester, you know, maybe one, but I'm going down to Cornell or NYU
Columbia.
Or Columbia,
right.
wherever. That's not the case anymore. Now they're like, yeah, I'll do it at the medical center. I'll do it Northern Westchester. I'll do it at White Plains, wherever.
And I also know, we're chatting with Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino. I'm Lisa Wexler. I also know that Columbia, particularly Columbia, has invested in a new center for autism, and they are combining their historic commitment to mental health issues of all kinds in the campus that's right near Bloomingdale's. You know the
yes.
one I'm talking about in White Plains?
Yeah.
And so, and I think they have new centers there. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot going on in our region. All right. So let me ask you this. So today is a Friday morning. This is very topical news. But we all woke up to the news that President Trump decided that he was going to bomb, and he did bomb, I think 59 missiles or something, over a Syrian airbase in response to the devastating chemical attack on civilians. And, you know, Rob, it's never been a secret that you have aspirations for higher office. You've run for governor of the state of New York before. You may run again. And you've been very involved with national Republican politics. What is your take on President Trump's action last night?
I think America had to respond in some way. I mean, we were all responding with tears or concern about the images that we saw with the babies and the kids and the gas attacks. I mean, it's disgusting that a human being would do that to other human beings. I mean, think about that, what Assad is doing and others have done to their own citizens. And yet, they've kind of got away with it for a very long time, and there's been a vacuum, and President Obama never wanted to fill that. He had his famous red line, which was erased all the time, and so you had ISIS, you had Assad, you had the situation in Egypt and many other places where they knew with pretty much assurance that America was not going to step in anymore. And absent that, they were just going to run amok. And not that we should be the policemen of the world, but when something so bad is done like that, do we stay out of it or do we respond? And I think it was more than just Syria. Those 59 missiles that took out an airbase and not only sent a message but apparently took out some of his top people is that it's a new president. We are concerned about what happens in the world because it affects us too. And let this be a message to everyone that's rogue and everyone that threatens us in some way, whether that's a message to North Korea, whether that's a message to
Russia
or the other. Now, not that we're going to be starting bombs over Moscow or St. Petersburg or Beijing.
No,
but we can't
forget that in recent history, Moscow was annexed Crimea.
Yeah.
Moscow was behind the poisoning of the people in Ukraine.
Yep. And, you know, sometimes a bully responds when he's punched in the face with backing down. And I think that message might have been, look, you know, today is Syria because we should all be talking about Syria. But everyone's on notice now that the U.S. is concerned about the rest of the world, too. And people better think twice.
And how does that jibe, Rob Astorino, with the conversation and the rhetoric of Donald Trump hitting and hitting and hitting again that the United States should not be the police person of the world, that when he became president, he would be America first and not involve himself in international controversies?
I think to some extent that's still true. But, you know, there's a difference between being a candidate where you don't have all the information and you're free to say things as opposed to when you actually get in that chair and you're now the decision maker and you've got all this new information that will directly affect our country or the region.
Do you think
you've got to make a decision?
Do you think this was an impulsive decision on President Trump's behalf, or you think this was something he was thinking about for a while?
I think they were thinking about it, and then when they saw what just happened, that was the final message for them to do something. And you know, that look, I wouldn't have second-guessed President Obama if he had done that. In fact, there were times when many people were saying, you should do this. Use the authority and the power of our military to make that region safer. Now, what's going to happen? If there is no Assad, it might be worse.
It might be
right?
worse. That's
Who knows?
Why there are no good choices.
There are none. I mean, Syria is an absolute mess. Absolute mess. It's not the only country. That region's a mess. Look at Egypt. Egypt's still trying to figure out what to do.
Well, we hosted the American people. Yeah. Donald Trump hosted, what's his name, Sisi?
Yes.
Mohammed al-Sisi. And he was in town this week, and that seemed to go well. Now, I also think it's probably not an accident that these missiles were launched on the very day that Donald Trump was meeting with the Chinese premier.
Could be.
But I also think, and I was thinking about this myself, that it's ironic that this president, who has declared himself at war with the press on an unprecedented scale, is actually more affected, I think, by press and by images than other presidents have been in the past, because he is a news hound. Mm-hmm. He doesn't like to admit it. He calls it fake news. He carries on like crazy. But I do think that those images really got to him. He seemed to have an actual change of heart in front of the cameras.
I don't know how you can't. No, you know, as a dad or a grandpa, which he is.
But this is the guy who says it's fake news don't listen, and yet he listens more than anybody.
I know. Look, we're all affected when you see photos like that and images like that. But
there are images coming from the Sudan.
Oh, all the time.
There are
images
with Boko Haram. There are chronically starving people. They estimate in the millions in Africa. I feel like bombing the crap out of those people, too. But then what?
No, I know. We can't go everywhere. But you look at what that region is. It's falling apart. It was part of his plan to stop the refugee program because we don't know what's coming out of there. And, you know, when a brutal dictator like that uses such awful, poisonous, deadly chemicals to kill and maim his own people, as he said, you know, our line has honestly been crossed.
And what's fascinating about this, we're chatting with Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino from the Mount Olympus Diner here in Yonkers, is that the evidence itself was presented to the American people that this red line had been crossed by Assad. Putin came out and said not true, that it was the rebels who had accidentally bombed this bombing place where the chemicals were kept, or something like that. Basically, he was trying to protect Assad's flank. If Donald Trump had believed Putin's version, he presumably would not have done what he did. What he did was an affront to Assad, who announced this morning that it was an act of aggression. So the other, I think, significant thing coming out of this is that he has publicly distanced himself from Putin, which is somebody that he has flattered publicly for a long time.
I think what happened is, you know, the intelligence and the military commanders said, look, here's what's going on. And that's
who he believed.
Yeah, and these are your options. You can do nothing, that's fine, which will lead to X, Y, and Z. Or you can do this, which will lead to A, B, and C, whatever. But here you go, Mr. President. Welcome to the White House. This is your choice now. Nobody else's choice. It's your choice.
There was a political shakeup earlier this week. I was wondering, do you have a personal relationship with Steve Bannon? Is he someone you know?
No, I've only met him, I think, twice. I really don't know him well. I know other people in the White House much longer. Reince Priebus I've known for a long time. You know, obviously the Trumps. But I know a lot of people. I know some of the secretaries. Rick Perry was very, very helpful to me in 14. We stay in touch. There's many people. Elaine Chao, who is the transportation secretary, her father still lives in Harrison. She grew up in Westchester.
I didn't know that. Yep. And Linda McMahon.
Linda McMahon.
So what do you make of the, I won't call it a demotion, but other people have, of the fact that Steve Bannon is no longer at the NSC?
I was a little surprised he was on the NSC, to be very honest with you. I don't know why, but I think, you know, when they first got in there, they wanted not only to shake things up, and rightfully so, with all the Obama holdovers. As I've said before, we're now in April. I'm still dealing with all of Obama's people on HUD, and it's frustrating. You look at the HUD website on the, you know, chain of command. It says Secretary, Dr. Ben Carson. Deputy Secretary, vacant. All of the Assistant Secretaries, vacant.
Well, that's because, and I read this week, the Trump administration has not submitted hundreds of names for approval in these Undersecretary spots.
And nobody knows, get going. This is your team. And so you're complaining, rightfully so, that you're being undermined. Well, you can do something about it. You got to start picking people, get them in there. Because right now, literally, you've got these secretaries who, those who are reporting to him are the other team. Could you imagine this?
So if offered the job, Rob Astorino, would you take one of them?
No.
No? Definitely not?
No. But it's got to be clean. He's got to do this, and it's very frustrating to people like me trying to deal with the federal government on a very important issue and not having any of the president's team that we could talk to. You know, and it's very counterproductive because the people who are there now, the Obama people, are making policy and agreements for the Trump administration, contrary to what they want.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you very much for joining us this morning. You've been listening to our live conversation from the Mount Olympus Diner here in Yonkers.
I'll be back.
Will you today? You coming back for lunch?
I'll have French toast later then.
Of course you will.
24 hours a day.
That French toast looked
It was very good.
Amazing.
It was
very,
very good.
Thick. I wonder if
you
use like the challah bread.
It is,
yeah. And you've been listening to Westchester Talk Radio, produced by Shark Creative, made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, Facelifts Painting, Riverso Associates, Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Wartburg and Northeast Environmental. You can download the Westchester Talk Radio app on iTunes at Westchester Talk. Please like us on Facebook, Westchester Talk Radio. I'm Lisa Wexler. Thanks for joining us this morning.
We're back.
Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.